The passage that was read for us this morning in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 contains for us a very clear warning. It's almost like a hurricane warning. On September the 21st, 1938, a deadly and destructive hurricane struck the east coast of the United States. It made landfall at Long Island, New York State. As the torrential 35-foot wave approached, some Long Islanders jumped into cars and raced inland. But many, sadly, were overcome as that enormous wave caught up with them. The Weather Bureau's forecasting at the time was in a sorry state. And the forecasters had poor training and systematic planning was not in place. And of course, if the forecasters were blind and didn't know about this hurricane coming, the public was blind too. But one incident in particular that night shows the folly of ignoring warnings. Just a few days before that hurricane struck, one Long Islander had bought a barometer in New York. It arrived in that very moment, in that morning, in the Morning Post, on that fateful day, September the 21st. And to his annoyance, the man who'd bought the barometer saw that the needle pointed below 29, where the dial read hurricanes and tornadoes. So the man thought it was broken. He shook the barometer, banged it against the wall, but the needle wouldn't budge. And so indignant, he repackaged it, drove to the post office and posted it back. While he was gone, his house was totally destroyed by the hurricane. And many lost their lives. For so many on that day, ignoring the hurricane warnings and refusing to take action was disastrous and fatal. There are some warnings in life that are just too important to ignore. We've heard plenty of warnings recently during this coronavirus pandemic. And the Bible passage that's before us today from Hebrews chapters 5 and 6 also contains a very important warning. To my mind, it's one of the most sobering passages in the New Testament because it shows us the very real dangers of giving up on the Christian faith and forfeiting the salvation that can be yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a warning that's set in the context of loving encouragement. In the immediate context, the writer is speaking to Jews who have become Christians, who have trusted in Jesus the Messiah. But these new Christians were under intense pressure. They were being tempted, because of persecution, to turn away from their faith in Jesus Christ and go back to the more comfortable option of Judaism, where they could practice their religion without hostility. But the writer encourages them and urges them to stick with Jesus, because Jesus is the one in whom all the promises of God have been fulfilled. Only through Jesus can their sins be totally forgiven. Only through Jesus can they have a right relationship with God. Only through Jesus can they have a righteousness from God that is by faith. Only through Jesus can they be welcomed into the promised land of heaven. So to go back, to turn back, would be to forfeit their salvation and condemn themselves to judgment. That is why this writer writes with such passion and commitment to these people. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins? Do you have a right relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a sure hope of heaven? How important that is at this time. While this is a great letter of encouragement, yet interspersed all the way through it, there are these warning passages about what happens if you turn back and give up on the Lord Jesus Christ. So these verses we're looking at this morning are one such warning. But the wonderful thing about this letter is that you don't have to be living in the first century to be able to understand its message. For this letter is also about living as a Christian in the 21st century. We too are under pressure to give up on Jesus. We too need the encouragement to press on. We too must hear the warnings about the dangers of turning back, turning away from Jesus. So whatever we are feeling this morning, whether we're encouraged, joyful, or weary, or burdened, we all need to hear this word of warning. Obeying this word will keep us trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and walking on that road to glory. So the writer here gives us three punchy lessons to keep us going. He says, grow up, wake up, and look up. So let's look at the first of those three lessons. Grow up, he says, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, into chapter 6, verse 3. Grow up. The writer has just been explaining about Jesus as our great high priest. And he says that he'd love to teach them more. But they're slow to learn, he says. In fact, though by this time they ought to have become teachers, they needed someone to teach them the elementary truths of God's word all over again, the ABCs of God's word. They needed spiritual milk, whereas he wanted to teach and give them solid spiritual food. It's like as if these people were still in their spiritual nappies. They should have been mature and strong in the faith. In fact, he says they should be teachers teaching those younger in the faith. There should have been a mutual teaching ministry going on in this church. These people should have been like wise elder brothers and sisters, people to whom new young converts could have gone for advice and wisdom. But they were nowhere near that level. They should have been a lot further on than they were spiritually. Instead, they needed to be taught the basics of the Christian faith again. It's as if, spiritually speaking, they were in our youngest children's group of the church called Explorers, a group for children aged 5 to 11, which normally meets on Friday evenings. But of course, we must, in the current emergency, wait for the emergency measures to end before starting up again. But there's something wrong when people just don't grow up. Just imagine for a moment you go to visit a family. And when you get there, you discover the husband is in the corner wearing a large nappy. He's sucking milk from a large baby's bottle. He's got a whole host of children's toys around him. Instead of talking properly, all he can do is babble like a baby. What a tragedy that would be. And how much more is it a tragedy in the spiritual realm if Christians do not grow up? They've been Christians for years, but they've grown very little in their spiritual understanding. They've not made much progress in holiness. Now, our writer tells us how this happens. He says such people don't listen. They're dull of hearing, he says. They're lazy listeners. It's the sort of attitude that listens to a sermon on YouTube, but then shrugs the shoulders and says, well, that's over now, what's for lunch? There's no thinking through the issues. There's no pondering the word of God. There's no wrestling with the Bible's message to see how does it apply to their lives. And the second reason people are spiritually immature is that they do not obey. And we read about this in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of God and in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Do you see the way of maturity? But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's not just listening to the word of God. It's about obeying the word of God. The mature have taken in the solid food of the word of God and are putting it into practice. They've trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. The word of God has a practical effect on them, not just on a Sunday, but on Monday morning and through the whole week. So that's why these people were so immature. They didn't listen properly and they didn't obey. They didn't put the word of God into practice. And it's vital we ask ourselves the same questions. Are we, as it were, still in our spiritual nappies? Or are we making progress in the faith? Now, it needs to be said that the writer is not wanting to make young Christians feel uneasy. It may be that you've only just come to faith in recent weeks or months. And that's great. But it's vital you lay the foundations of the Christian faith in your heart and mind and life. You can join one of our Bible study groups here at Kensett Evangelical Church and join as we are studying the Bible remotely at the moment, and you can find out more by going to our church website at www.kensett.org.uk. But for those who've been Christians much longer, we need to humbly examine ourselves and see if we are making progress. Are you someone who carefully listens to the word of God and then you thoughtfully and prayerfully seek to apply it to your life by the power of the Holy Spirit? That's the way to maturity. But if the word of God goes in one ear and out the other and it makes no impact on your life, then that's a surefire way of remaining spiritually immature. So what does the writer say in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1? He says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity." It's not that we move on from Jesus. Rather, we put deeper roots down into the Lord Jesus Christ. When you first trust in Jesus Christ, you put down those first spiritual roots of repentance and faith. Then, as you mature, your roots go ever deeper, deeper, deeper into Christ. And then you're increasingly transformed to become more like him. So the first punchy lesson the writer gives here: grow up. The second is to wake up. And that's in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. Because the command to grow up actually carries with it a very serious warning. Because failing to grow up actually puts you in spiritual danger. That's why the writer goes on to give us his second command. Wake up, he says. Now we should notice the very first word in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. "For he has spoken," he says, "for." "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened." For. In other words, here are the reasons why not growing to maturity is dangerous. If you fail to grow in faith, then you'll put your faith in danger. In fact, so much danger that you might in the end turn away from Jesus, thus turning away from him and condemning yourself to eternal condemnation. It's been put like this: there is a time we know not when, a point we know not where, that marks the destiny of men to glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. There is no such thing as treading water in the Christian life. You're either growing in maturity or you're drifting away. So the writer here urgently appeals to us not to be the sort of person who seem to start well in the Christian life but then drift away and publicly deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to how he describes such a situation in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. For, don't forget that important word, for. This is the reason why it's spiritually dangerous to drift. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Who are these people he's talking about? Well, these people seem to have had some sort of spiritual experience, but without having become true Christians. They have been enlightened, but they have not come to the light. Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. They have tasted, as it were, but not fed fully on the banquet of the Lord. These are people who perhaps have heard the gospel, perhaps who once attended church. They may even know the truths of the Christian faith and can explain those truths with a measure of understanding. They've perhaps had some sort of experience whereby they've witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit. At one time, these people even may well seem to have been believers and to be part of the Christian community. But these people fall away. They have a change of heart and reject the gospel and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They do so decisively and clearly and finally. Here the writer gives them a very grave warning. If they finally turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, it is impossible to be brought back to repentance. Why? Because in finally turning away from the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as if they're crucifying the Lord Jesus all over again. They're driving the nails into his hands and humiliating him again. They're spitting in the face of the one who died for sinners. Now, it's important to understand that our writer is not talking about true believers who still struggle with sin, sometimes in a big way. All true believers are still in that category. True believers still battle with sin, are still tempted, still continue to sin, and sometimes even sin in big ways. All you have to do is reflect on the stories of believers in the Bible. Abraham had a catalogue of disasters, but was brought back again to the Lord. King David committed adultery and murder, but was brought back to repentance. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, but Peter was restored. But in those quick cases, they acknowledged their sin and sought repentance and forgiveness from God. But in this case that the writer describes here, the person deliberately, willfully, and finally turns his or her back on the Lord Jesus Christ and hardens his or her heart. If you do that, then you're in no position to receive forgiveness. You deliberately remove yourself from the sphere of God's saving grace. And that's an awful position to find yourself in. It's a terrible thing to see a person utterly disinterested in God's grace, disinterested in Jesus Christ, who once professed faith in Jesus Christ. To see such a person now utterly disinclined to serve Jesus Christ, who once acknowledged him as Lord and Saviour. There's a little phrase that was once very popular. Houston, we have a problem. It's a popular but slightly misquoted quotation from the radio communications between the Apollo 13 astronaut Jack Swigert and the NASA Mission Control Center, Houston, during the Apollo 13 spaceflight in 1975. A part of the engine coil in the spacecraft was defective. It blew up and crippled the ship and brought into question not only whether the astronauts were going to be able to complete their mission, but whether they were even going to be able to get back to Earth. Houston, we have a problem. Well, the author of Hebrews is saying here, Houston, we have a problem. The problem is not sincere Christians struggling with sin. That's the normal Christian life. The problem is those who obviously and willfully and finally harden their heart, even after experiencing a measure of spiritual experience and blessing. But you see, at the end of the day, true Christians persevere. It's the end of the Christian race that reveals those who are truly Christ's. So at the moment, the question for you and me this morning is, are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you walking with the Lord Jesus Christ today? Not yesterday, not last week, last month, last year, but today. Because if today you are spiritually drifting, then beware. You might well drop out of the Christian race altogether. You need to come back and get stuck in again. If your hearing of the word of God is slacking, if Bible reading is non-existent, if holiness is not much of an issue for you anymore, then please heed the warnings. You are in spiritual danger. That is why the reader ends this section with verses 7 and 8, because his point is that real Christians show their true colours by bearing fruit for God, and they keep going. Listen to how he puts it in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burnt. The mark of the authentic Christian is fruit bearing, ongoing, keep on bearing fruit. The true Christian keeps going like that and bears the fruit of holiness for God in his or her life. So the writer is saying here, heed the warning and grow up and wake up. But then there's one last thing that the writer says to the people in this passage. And that is, look up. Because he ends by encouraging them. Although he's given them some very serious warnings in this passage, yet he doesn't think that these people to whom he's writing are going to go down that track of drifting away from the Lord. Listen to how it's put in Hebrews 6 verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this matter. Why is the writer confident about these people? Because they are pressing on and they are bearing fruit in their Christian lives. And so he emphasizes his confidence and his trust. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. These are people who are putting their faith into practice. They're working hard for the gospel. They're encouraging one another. Keep going. God has seen their work, their labor of love, and will reward them. But just because they are pressing on does not mean now they should sit back on their spiritual laurels. No, keep on pressing on. Keep on, he says, and look up to that wonderful future, which will be theirs if they keep going. Christian, he says, look up. Listen to how it's put in verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Remember those who have gone before, those who have made it to the end of the race. Remember that as a Christian, you have a wonderful future hope. And that's a great incentive to keep going in this Christian race of faith. Now, it's not that we earn our salvation if we keep going. Rather, perseverance in the Christian race shows that we are truly Christians. And when we look back on our lives from the joy of heaven, he's saying, we will see very clearly that it was the Lord who kept us through the ups and downs of the race. But the challenge for us now, this morning, in the middle of the race, is keep going. Now that's the challenge that you and I need to keep obeying every day of our lives. We need to keep battling with sin. We need to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and wrestling to be distinctively Christian wherever we are, at home, or work, at school, in university, wherever it is. We need to keep on hearing the word of God. We need to keep on encouraging one another. Does the Christian life sometimes feel like a struggle? The writer is saying, take heart, be encouraged. It's a great sign that you're still in the race. We are told in races that there comes a time when people say that they hit the wall. Have you heard that expression? Hit the wall. It's a time in a race when people feel they've run out of energy and it feels they can't go on, as if someone's taken the plug out. But there are strategies that runners employ to keep going. Yes, there are struggles in the Christian life. But there is this strategy to keep going, the writer says. Look up. See the glorious future hope of the believer. Keep looking up. Keep looking to that wonderful inheritance which will make everything worth it in the end. When all our struggles and pains and sorrows will be like a blink of the eye compared to that wonderful experience of glory being with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. As we look up in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that's what keeps us going in the Christian race. But if you're not battling, if you're not pressing on, if you're becoming lazy, if you're giving up, then beware. If you're slowly beginning to drift, you need to get back on track. That may be where you are at this morning. You know you are beginning to spiritually drift. It may even be that you're aware of something specifically wrong in your life, something that must be dealt with. Well, if so, then please hear these warnings this morning. Turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look up. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to give you the grace and strength you need to keep trusting in him. Because today is the day of salvation. And he will have you back if you admit your sin and turn to him. So it's not too late to address this issue. However much you have slipped, he will have you back. Jesus will have you back if you turn to him in faith and with a repentant heart. Which is why I want to close this morning with the story of Robert Robinson. Robert Robinson was a Baptist minister who lived in the 18th century. Not only was he a gifted pastor and preacher, he was also a gifted hymn writer. However, after many years in the pastorate, he began to spiritually drift. In one account of his life, it's said that he was on a coach and there was a female passenger on the same coach who began humming the tune of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. It's the hymn we sang earlier in the service. And she was humming it. And she asked him what he thought of it. And he responded with regret. He said something like this. Madam, I am the unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them, if I could feel now as I felt then. Now it's said that the woman responded to him, but the way back is written right here. You've written it right here in your own hymn, she's saying, in the third line. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Those streams of mercy are flowing here today. Did Robert Robinson recommit his life to Jesus Christ? Did he heed the warning? Did he turn back to the Saviour whose streams of mercy, never ceasing, were still flowing? You see, the thing to do when you hear the warning is to hear it, to take it in, and then obey, respond to it, act. Nothing could be more important than hearing and obeying and acting on these warnings from Hebrews. Where do you stand with Jesus Christ this morning? Do not harden your heart. Instead, entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, keep running in the Christian race. Keep running in the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep obeying Jesus out of thankfulness for those streams of mercy that have come to you out of sovereign grace. Streams of mercy, yes, are flowing to you from the God of all grace this morning. So don't turn away. Don't drift away. Don't give up. Turn to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you entrust yourself to the Saviour, Jesus, this morning and find for you, in your own personal experience, streams of mercy, never ceasing, flowing in and flooding your heart with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. So let's turn to the Lord now. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for streams of mercy flowing to us in the gospel of your grace, that for all who will turn to you, commit themselves to you, there is a forgiveness that is full and free, a cleansing for us today in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, a righteousness which is ours by faith, faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the fount of every blessing. Touch every heart with streams of mercy, and we will praise you and give you all the glory. Our Father in heaven, hear us this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hear these closing words in the benediction from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And may you know the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today and even forevermore. Amen.